I'd like you to turn tonight, first of all, to Genesis, please. Genesis and chapter 24. Genesis 24 and verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him in Tyre. And he said, send me away unto my master. Verse 56, he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Verse 61, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now into the Epistle of Peter. Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Chapter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, a verse or two in the second epistle. Second Peter, chapter 1. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Further down the chapter, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I trust tonight, dear brethren, that the short word that one has will come home to you, and as it has come home to me in presenting the Lord Jesus, the precious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was encouraged last night, our brother Willie, he mentioned about the Old Testament, about typology in the Old Testament, and I like types in the Old Testament. I like to see those things. I remember once we were going away on holiday when the children were young, and we went to a Christian guest house, and there was a minister there to take the week's meetings, and we were always, you know, a little bit concerned what kind of meetings there's going to be. And the first night he stood up, he says, "I'm going to take you this week to the pictures." Well, of course, he was a godly man, and he took us to the pictures in the Old Testament that speak so lovely to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been speaking this week about dispensations and about the close of this dispensation. Now I want to engage your hearts tonight a little with closing scenes. We read those verses in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Before those verses, there is a sequence of interesting things. In chapter 21, we have the birth of Isaac, the birth of the son. And we had that scripture before us today, or quoted either today or yesterday. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. What a wonderful moment it was when God, the son, came into this world. When the world became flesh and dwelt amongst us, as John says. What a marvelous moment it was when he tabernacled amongst us. They said, "We beheld his glory. The glory as of an only begotten with a father, full of grace and truth." In chapter 22 of Genesis, we see the death of the son. We see the one, father and son, moving in happy, holy communion together, moving on to that mountain. That mountain, that day, 3 days' journey off, Isaac and the lad, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Resurrection was in view. The Lord Jesus, he said, didn't he not? He says, "I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." When we come to chapter 23, we have the death of Sarah, the setting aside of Israel. Israel's death laid aside. And isn't it striking? When we come to chapter 4, we have the bringing in of the one who was to be the bride for Isaac. We've had this before us already this week. But isn't it wonderful too that we do not have a mention of Isaac from the time in chapter 22 when he's going to the mountain until the time when he's seen at the end of this chapter here, at the eventide, out there meditating in the field. Doesn't it remind us that the Lord Jesus today is in glory? He's waiting that moment, that wonderful moment, when the bride of Christ, his spotless bride, when it shall be presented unto him, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, beloved brethren, let's keep that day before us. Oh, day of wondrous promise, the bridegroom and the bride are seen in glory ever, and love is satisfied. That's what will warm our hearts up. That's what will keep us in the narrow way. That's what will bring response in our hearts to the Lord, having that day before us. And so where we break into the chapter today, we come to the part where the servant, the unknown servant, he gives gifts. And it says, the servant brought forth jewels of silver. I think when we come to Peter's epistle, we have the jewel of silver. Brethren, he says, we're redeemed not with corruptible things,
such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You'll notice that those gifts that were given, they were precious. It says, he also gave gifts to her brother and her mother of precious things, which would indicate that the things that he had in store for Rebecca were precious. Now, isn't it wonderful? The first thing was silver. What you and I needed first of all, beloved, was redemption. We needed to be saved. We needed to be blessed. This was the only way that God could come out to us. The only way that we can reach God was through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, the major writers in the Old Testament, they all spoke about the blood and made much of the blood. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from every sin. Peter says, we're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And Paul, in Colossians 1, he reminds the saints there, just turn it up, Colossians 1. He reminds the saints, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, an old divine of a bygone age said, make much of the blood. Nay, he says, make everything of the blood. And oh, beloved, the first gift that was given to Rebecca was a gift, a precious gift of silver. We've got it, you know, we've been redeemed. Oh, beloved, let's enjoy this more and more. Let's think of it. We have been redeemed to God. You know, when the throngs around the throne in Revelation 5, that's the song of God. It's the song of the redeemed. He has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. We're there, not through anything that we've done. Worms of the dust. There through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second gift that he gave says, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. I think when we come to the second chapter, we've got jewels of gold. We've got there verses that speak to us so preciously about the Lord Jesus. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, chosen of God and precious. Oh, beloved friends, this world counted our Saviour as worthless. Where shall he die and his name perish? A cross was the value that they placed on God's Son. My dear friends, as God is concerned, chosen of God and precious. We've been engaged today with John 17. And I think when we read that chapter over, and one hasn't got the ability, as others have here, to go into the depths of those things. But I think in that chapter, one thing that comes home to us is the wonderful value and preciousness of the person of the Lord Jesus to God the Father. You know, in his pathway here, no wonder the heavens could be opened upon him. Baptism, his baptism, the banks of Jordan, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Of transfiguration that Peter refers to in his second epistle. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we heard a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Men would try to put him on the same platform. Moses and Elias. No, God says, there's only one man precious to me. Hear him. He says here, he was chosen of God and precious. And it says, in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He's precious, you know, in himself. Have you and I come to it, you know? This is something I believe that we all have to come to in our individual experience. Spending time in the company of the Lord. Getting to know something of his value and his preciousness. Oh, he's precious, you know. Where the scripture is taken from in Isaiah, it says this, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. That's the person. You know, when we look through the Old Testament, so often we find the stone. The stone is a person. And it says, it was a tried stone. That brings in his pathway, doesn't it? Oh, the pathway of the Lord Jesus. Who was ever tried like Jesus? Those of the Hebrews that were written about in relation to priesthood tells us that he was tempted, tested on all points as we are, yet sin apart. Oh, the testings that he endured. The testings in his life here. It says he was a tried stone. Then it says he was a precious cornerstone. I think that brings in his death, you know. What a wonderful death was the death of the Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved brethren, that you and I may be captivated more with the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. It has often been said, and I have no doubt we've all heard it said, he was more precious to God at that moment than never before. The Lamb of God, the one who came into this world, lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. John 17, he says, I finished the work that you have given me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. The cross was passed in his mind. The work was complete. And oh, how precious he was to God. And then it is in our verse here, it says, and unto you which believe, he is precious. Now let's ask the question to each one of us, young or old tonight, is the Lord Jesus really precious to you? Isn't it? Is he precious to us? Do we really value him as we should? Oh, beloved, the servant she gave, the servant he gave to Rebecca, gifts of silver, gold, gifts of gold. You and I, beloved, have been given a gift of gold. And that, oh, the Lord Jesus. Oh, that we might know him. Paul says that I might know him. That was Paul's one great desire. That I might know him. We say, I wish I knew him. I wish I knew him better. Better. Oh, that we might get to know him better every day. Here, Paul says, he gave also to her, also to her brother and to her mother, precious things. Now, what are we going to say about that? If the Lord speaks to us of his redemption, if the God speaks to us of the great value of his person, we missed one. We'll go back to it now, I think, before we mention this. But there was raiment. The raiment. Gifts of raiment. And I think, you know, that brings us to 2nd Epistle of Peter. Because there it tells us there that we've been given a divine nature. And we've been given exceeding great and precious promise. Now, David, it's very striking that it says in this 2nd Epistle, yes, it says, we've been given a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a corruption that there is in the world. One of the features that marked the first days, Noah's day, violence and corruption filled the world. Why? Because of the divine nature that has been given us, we've escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. A nature that can appreciate God. A nature can enjoy the things of God. A divine nature. When we think of eternal life, as we have been doing this afternoon, eternal life is, isn't it, it's to be in the enjoyment of divine persons. A life that has no beginning, that will have no end. A life that can be enjoyed now in the divine nature that he has given to us. But he goes on to say, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, kindness, brotherly kindness, and charity. These are things that are to be evident in the divine nature. Certain, isn't it? How often we lose self-control. How on our pathway, wrong thing, we do the wrong thing, we give the wrong impression. Oh, beloved. God wants us to add to faith those things. You know, the raiment was something in Rebecca's case that would be worn, that would be seen, that would be outward. Marked out as the one who was going to Isaac, who was going to belong to him, who was going to be his bride. You and I, we're in a world where men might not read the book, but to read, you and me. And it's very searching. I came across a little piece of poetry some time ago, and it said this. World, be one for Jesus, just by what it sees in you and me. That was the basic of it. And it's very searching that. You know the disciples, in the Acts of the Apostles, it says of them, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. There was something about them. And you know, that should be with us. We should have the raiment on that the servant gives us, the Holy Spirit, nature. We should add those things to it. And it says above all, put on kindness and kindness and charity. Whatever was kindness seen like in the Lord Jesus? Oh, his kindness, his loving kindness. We only need to read the Psalms to get to know something of the loving kindness of God. The love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another. And he gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. Well, you know, I think you know that one of the things that this brings before us was this. That when the gave the gifts of silver and gold and the raiment, he was not impoverished in any way. He had plenty more precious things. So it says in the scriptures that they strengthened their hands with precious things. You know, through the scriptures, we all went having a little stone here and there, and there's gems below. The scriptures are filled to the brim with precious. Oh, that you and I might enjoy those things more and more. At the close of this story, isn't it striking? It says, verse 54, he rose up in the morning. The story begins in the morning. And the end of the chapter, it ends with the eventide. Doesn't it remind us of Paul's words? He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. If God has begun a work in our souls, he will complete that work. That work will be brought to fruition. He has much to do in us. Often said, he's got more to do in us than he's got to do with us. Many, many edges to be chipped off on the road home to glory. But you know, started in the morning. And then it says, verse 56, they said, well, let the damsel stay a little while with us. He says, hinder me not. You know, there's a great danger of us hindering the progress of the Spirit of God in our lives. We might miss the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit. We can be filled with earth as those whales were in the book of Genesis, that we make no room for the Spirit of God in our lives. He says, hinder me not. John, he says to Rebecca, he says, will you go with this man? You know, the servant had been speaking to her all about Isaac. Wonderful. Told her his greatness, his father's greatness, all that the son has, all that the father has been given to the son. As we read John's gospel, we read something of the greatness of the Father. We read something of the greatness of the Son. All things are committed into the hands of the Son. He's become great. Then she says, I'll go. Doesn't it remind us of the words of Scripture? Whom having not seen, we love. To think that over the desert sands, the servant was speaking all the time about Isaac. You know, that's what the Spirit of God's here for. We read in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 of John's Gospel the other night there. Remembrance. That's the Gospels. He shall lead you into all truth. That's the Epistles. He shall do things to come. That's the Book of Revelation. Yes, the Spirit of God is leading us home until the wonderful moment arrives, and it says, Isaac is in the fields, eventide. Meditate in the fields at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes. The day is drawing to a close now, you know. The day is drawing to a close. You know, beloved, I believe, as Ernie has said, this dispensation, the day of grace, I think it's drawing to a close. I think we're getting to the end, you know. And all the major writers in the New Testament, we've mentioned how they mentioned the blood. They also mention the coming of the Lord. Chapter of Revelation, he says, he's coming as a bright and morning star. Until the day star arise in your hearts for the blessed hope. The glorious name of our great God and Saviour. Yes, he's coming. He's coming again. The Lord descends from heaven with a shout. Voice of the archangel, trump of God. Dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain caught up together. Together to be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, the ride of the desert might have been a bit uncomfortable at times. But you know, seeing Isaac, I believe she comforted herself with those words. And it said, she lifted up her eyes, she saw Isaac. Isaac lifted up his eyes. And you know, it was her eyes met. And you know, beloved, when we're going to see him. Oh, we're going to see him. See him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? When with wrath I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died. We're going to see him. The journey's about over. What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant said, it's my master. You know, it's the Spirit and the bride that say come. The Spirit's not conducting us through the desert scene today, speaking to us all about Jesus. But you know, the Spirit may usher us home into his very presence. It's my master. And immediately she lights off the camel. And it says, he loved her. Second mentioned already today in chapter 22, the father's love for the son, the son's love for Rebecca. Though the Lord Jesus doesn't remind us of the words in the Epistle to Ephesians, Christ also loved the church. Gave himself that he might present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. What a wonderful day. May the Lord keep our eyes upon that blue moment. Who we love. You're going to be with him someday. May we enjoy some more precious things that he has in store for us on the road home to glory. Amen.